Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to board a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
All your transgression, you receive the atomic bullet to the ass!
Good!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Oh, King, Shazam the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.
A wee mower, a wee mower, a wee mower, a wee mower, a wee mower. She's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. whiskey and I own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Because when them old boys raised on shotguns, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause the country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Who is this King Shazizz the Terrible? He sounds like a ruthless individual who rules with an iron fist. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope everyone's doing well out there, and wait around for some knights that might want to call in. But meantime, thought I'd start talking about, you know, there's a lot of people before us who had put down stepping stones, paving stones, to pave our way into the future that we are here in the present time and date. Some of those stepping stones led us off in the wrong direction, but for the most part, the wonderful individuals back in the day who sacrificed everything that they had, their money, their fortune, their life, their blood, their tears, in order to let us live in freedom to some extent. You know, when I say that, sounds kind of sarcastic, but we wouldn't even have what we got now if there hadn't been individuals such as you and I and those that came before us that are paving the stones for future generations. To me, that's a really profound thing when you step back and think about it. If you go up there to one of these cemeteries where they have mostly military people, and you stand there and you think about why all this occurred, why these people basically gave their lives. And each and every one of them, I'm sure that they were fighting for what they believed in. They were fighting for the dream of peace and hope and love for the world. And they basically gave the ultimate sacrifice. For those of you out there who celebrate Easter, I would like to say to you, Happy Easter, and remind you that the real reason of Easter was a big sacrifice made. Now, I'm not going to go into some huge religious rant spew or whatever like that, because, you know, I know we've got a lot of individuals who aren't believers in that sort of thing or whatever, and teach his own and stuff like that, but from my faith and my family, you know, we celebrate Easter, but we keep in remembrance of what Easter is all about. You know, it's not this commercial thing with the Easter Bunny and the nifty little colored eggs and all that kind of stuff. It's become commercialized and strayed away from what Easter was to represent from the get-go. So, you know, with that said, there was an ultimate sacrifice during Easter that basically put the stepping stones down that allowed us to be here today to do what it is that we're doing, you know? And so my hopes is that the Knights of the Round Table are out there in the world, you know, and laying down good stepping stones in the right positive direction for our future generations, you know, our children and our children's children. You know, when you look into the eyes of the innocent, which are the children, you know, the babies and the toddlers and the young men and women as they're being raised up by their families, and you look into those eyes and you think, you know, what would I want to leave behind for these children? I personally would like to leave a world that is a whole lot better than the one that I've seen as I've grown up in my day. You know, I think about my friends out there. I got a friend, Remedy, every once in a while. I just get this thought in my head what it was like when he was a little bitty toddler running around in Australia, you know. You know, everyone's got a story. Everyone on this planet has a story of life. You know, we've all been down some really hard roads for some of us, and some of us had pretty good roads that we traveled down. I know a few folks that haven't got a single complaint about their life. Everything's went well. I mean, personally, I've had my ups and downs, and I've been down a few hard roads in my life, but for the most part, the experience has been really, really good for me. You know, I've seen a lot of places. I've actually stood in Japan. I've been in the Philippines. I've been all over the world, you know. I've got to see things that some folks haven't had the opportunity to do so. And some folks may never have those opportunities. But I was fortunate enough to be able to go different places and see things. And I've got a really good friend, Steve. I think he's down in Thailand right now. And he's got to see the world. There's a lot of folks that's got to travel. My buddy Cultus over there in Australia came over to the United States. He's up hanging out with Dame Shannon up in Indiana. And hope they're doing well. And I send my love and peace out to them. And Happy Easter and that kind of stuff. And, you know, none of this would have been possible had we not laid down these stones. You know, putting the platform together such as the Knights of the Round Table. I can remember when I first started the idea back in when we were on TNS Radio, and there was a lot of good folks back there that I sure do miss that I wish were, you know, over here. My buddy Bitch and Bob out there, you know, he was a really cool guy, and there was a lot of good nights out there that always came out. We had good radio content and good subject that we talked about, finding positive solutions, and just a bunch of wonderful people from Ireland and all over the world coming together. And when I get the opportunity, I'd like to probably upload some of those old podcasts, because I believe that this is Knights number 89. I'm not sure. It's either 88 or 89. Can't remember. But anyway, you know, that's quite a few shows that has been done since then, and we keep the ball rolling. You know, it was an idea back in the day that we could bring everybody to the table, sit down and have coffee from around the world. You know, Rick and Annie out there from Shake and Wake Radio, and Steve from Awake Radio, and Gary from No Borders Radio, and all their listeners and people in their chat rooms and our chat rooms all together combined, you know, sitting around listening to the radio or talking in the chat rooms and stuff like that, you know. We're like one huge family that just keeps on growing, you know. And to me, that is a positive pebble. That's a positive boulder, man. It's humbling. It's amazing that we've kept this thing going as long as we have, you know. We've all had our share of computer problems and outside influences trying to break us up, or, you know, just things going on. But I believe, from my beliefs, my point of view, that there's a higher power involved there that's keeping us all together, you know. The glue that binds the family, so to speak. But, you know, I'm happy that we do the Knights of the Round Table. And I would like to see a whole lot more participation, you know, as far as people jumping in the chat room from outside the network, so you can meet some friends here, you know. I put a video out. I put the links inside of Shaziz's chat room, links to pertinent links to how to get a hold of me and stuff like that. For Shaziz Radio, I originally started it for alternative music, and so I would love to hear anyone out there who has their own band or own music, or if you just want to read a poem, you know, or if you write something profound down and you just want the world to hear it. Like, if you listen in, you will hear Ken Anderson reading out the most profound, I can't remember what the name of it was now, but it was something that I wrote, and he read it out for me. It was a pretty wonderful deal. Actually, it's posted in on the website here over there in the shows and host room. There's you can actually play it and listen to it, and it's actually written out as well. But that came from the heart, and another wonderful individual with a beautiful voice read that out, and I've been playing it ever since. So if you get something like that you want to say, MP3 or some sort of, you want to put something up to tell somebody a message, you know, a good message of something that's going to be beneficial to society, I have a new ShazizRadio@yahoo.com. So if you want to have something put up there to run on Auto DJ while the other shows are not playing or whatever, send me your MP3 to ShazizRadio@yahoo.com. It really needs to be an MP3 because I don't really have the time to try to transfer everyone's wave files or whatever music files to MP3 format to get them to work up on the Auto DJ. But anyway, I put the video up in there. If you want to watch that video, you could. It'll pretty much explain what I just got through saying right there. We have a great opportunity here to do so much amazing work, and I've seen we've done a lot of good stuff, you know. It really don't seem like to some folks that we're really making any progress, you know, but we are making progress because you know, the word's getting out there, the positive messages, and, you know, here at the Knights of the Round Table, we've had some passionate talks, man. We've had a little bit of frustration, a little bit of anger, a little bit of tears, a little bit of comedy. You know, we've had it all. Everything that you would have around the table at your family's house, you know. Average Joe is getting there trying to troubleshoot and find solutions to problems that exist in our world. So, I just want to say thank you to everyone out there. You know, it's awesome. It's really awesome. There's just so many wonderful individuals in this world. And as bad as everything may appear to you, you know, when you look out into the world and, you know, there's always a doomsday coming around. But guess what, folks? This morning the sun came up. It came up in the northeast a little bit further over than it normally does, but it came up. So Doomsday ain't quite here yet. So in the meantime, what do you say we clean up the yard and have a barbecue and do all the things that families do, and we just live our life in peace and love as long as we possibly can, and try to lead by example and make the world a better place. You know, what more can you ask from this world? You know, so there's somebody some long time ago said, you know, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Lemonade ain't so bad, you know. So there's also another story that just kind of popped in my head. There's a stone soup. I don't know if you've ever heard that story about this guy. He takes a pot and he puts some water in it and throws a rock in the middle of this pot of water. And anyway, he's sitting here, he's cooking it and everything, you know, and one of his neighbors come walking by and said, "Hey, what you cooking there, neighbor?" And he said, "Oh, I'm cooking stone soup. You want to try some?" And the guy said, "Sure." So he takes a spoonful of it, and he's like, "Well, you know," he didn't want to be rude or anything. He said, "Well, it could use a little bit of something." He said, "I got a little bit of salt. You mind if I spice this up a hair?" And she said, "No, go ahead." So he threw some salt in there and tasted, and "Oh, yeah, that is a lot better." Well, then next thing you know, another neighbor comes rolling by, and they said, "Well, what you guys doing over there?" "Well, we're cooking stone soup. Want to try some?" And so, you know, they went over there and tried it, and it's like, "Well, you know, it could use it a little bit. I got some carrots and some vegetables I could throw up in there." You know, before it was all said and done, so many people had come by and tasted the soup and added their little bit of something to that they had. And so right before it's time to eat, the man who started the stone soup, he says a prayer for everybody and blessing the food and all that, and he dips the spoon in there and gets a hold of the stone and flips it out on the ground, and they're like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, we didn't need that. We just needed the rest of the stuff to make the soup." That was a pretty good deal there, man. And I know I paraphrase that story, so those of you who've already heard that story probably, you know, I butchered it. But the moral's pretty good, because essentially what we're doing right here on the Knights of the Round Table is that we are making stone soup, you know. We're bringing all these people together who are putting their little bit of spice of life into the pot there, and we're making the world a better place. So we are making progress. I mean, think about this, folks. You got some friends out there that you never had before. You got friends in Spain, you got friends in Ireland, you got friends in Scotland, in Australia, in Canada, in Bulgaria, all over the globe. You got friends. That's an amazing thing. You were able to reach across international boundaries without having to have some sort of passport to, you know, get there. You was able to reach across and touch the heart of a living individual from clear across the globe. That's cool. That is amazing. That is what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. That is a whole purpose. Because my brothers and sisters on the other side of the globe, man, even though I may never get to stand there face to face with them, which would be one of the most amazing things if we had some sort of, you know, mass family reunion / we all meet in the middle kind of thing, you know, some deserted island out in the middle of Nowheresville where ain't nobody could bother us, and we'd all just get together and bring a little bit of our culture there and our life and share things with each other, and sort of like a little mini utopia for just you know, a brief period of time while we all, you know, visit with one another before we go homes to our families at home, you know. That's a big dream. You know, it isn't beyond the realms of possibility, but there's, you know, financial issues in there. It'd be nice to see that, though. It'd be nice to see friends from all over the globe, you know. But in the meantime, hey, what do we got to complain about? We can at least have these round tables together. We can at least talk with each other and share our our thoughts and hopes and music and love and information with one another. You can't beat that. You can't beat that at all, man. I mean, it's just a, to me, it's just a wonderful thing. So for all of you out there who do celebrate Easter, happy Easter to you. You know, just keep it in your heart what it was all about to begin with. And, you know, for those of you who don't, happy day to you as well. You know, just keep it in your heart what it's all about. Life, people, humanity. It's not all the negativity out there. It's that guy willing to stop on the side of the road and help somebody fix a flat tire, or that gal who, you know, helps somebody out with something that needs to be done or whatever. It's us being the servants to one another. You know, we don't need no slave masters. We don't need no slaves. All we need is each other to recognize when one of us is in need and step forth with whatever resources we have available. You know, could be something just as simple as a smile. This is how we make the world a better place. This is how you know that you are powerful. You know, you just, it's just too easy to give love to the world. I mean, it feels good. And you can keep on giving love forever and a day and never run out. It's not like money. You keep spending money hand over fist and pretty soon you're broke. Hey, brother, you got a nickel I can borrow? Got to get me a stamp. I think stamps even cost more than a nickel these days. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. If any of the Knights are around and want to call in, man, you could give me a break and come on in here and start talking about what you think about life and that kind of stuff. You know, some individuals out there that, you know, they're atheists and they put a sign up and they put it up on Easter and said that Jesus is a myth. You know, if that's their belief, then so be it. But, you know, what I keep trying to point out to these individuals is why dash anyone else's hopes and dreams. If somebody truly believes in something, you let them believe in what they want to believe. You believe in what you want to believe. No harm, no foul. You treat each other good. We come together here across international boundaries on the Knights of the Round Table from all kinds of backgrounds. And we don't disrespect one another because we don't believe the other guy what they believe. We agree to disagree in a respectful manner, and that's how we get along. And we get things done. You know, sitting around fighting and fussing and arguing over ignorance has never got anything accomplished. Now, we do have to talk about some negative things in the world, but we don't try to drive it down somebody's throat until they're in a state of fear and paranoia where they think that the sky is falling and doomsday's right around the corner. And I would hope that all the hosts would have that same moral standards whenever they spread any kind of information, to make sure that they know for sure that it's positive, it's truthful, and that, it's delivered in a manner by which it's not going to, destroy or harm somebody's life, you know. Those folks that really don't know what's going on in the world, that aren't awake, and, the shock of becoming suddenly, there's terrible things going on in the world. That's a life-changing experience. And so your words are powerful. Your words have meaning, and they have consequences. So, you know, with being one of the Knights of the Round Table, it comes with a bit of responsibility to use that power of the spoken word in a responsible manner to uplift your fellow humans as opposed to dragging them to the dirt. I really don't think that that's a bad thing to strive for, to try to uplift individuals and try to make this world a better place. I really can't see anything wrong with sharing peace, hope, and love to the world. You know, dashing people's hopes by putting a sign up on their religious holiday and saying, oh, it's all a lie and this and that. you know, of course they got a First Amendment to be a jerk, but that don't mean they have to be a jerk. I mean, they could step back and say, you know, I don't necessarily agree with Easter, but or Jesus Christ, but I'm not going to interfere with their right to believe. This is, see, it starts at the ground. It starts at the ground level. You know, you get a group of individuals together. Everyone has disagreements and don't believe one another, or argue and fight and fuss amongst each other. They just can't seem to get anything accomplished. Everyone goes away in anger and frustration and sadness. We have surpassed that here at the Knights of the Round Table. We don't send our friends and family away in depression and fear and anger and frustration because, you know, we run them into the ground for what they believe. No, we discuss and agree to disagree in a respectful manner, and we treat one another like family. That's what it should be like. That's what this whole entire world should be like, because those folks on the other side of the world, those are your brothers and sisters. You know, regardless of what color they are, regardless of what their religious background is, the things that they believe in, you know? And anytime we lose a piece of humanity, and we lose big time. It's not just that person who lost their life that lost. We all lost. And so, you know, with that said, if you're out there trying to do any kind of good, I know some of the good that some folks are out there doing. I know my friend Remedy, he's doing research in law and stuff like that. And my friend Steve's over there in Thailand, he's doing some research in development in alternative ways of growing food and such. I got friends in alternative energy all over the globe. There's just so many individuals out here who are doing so much wonderful stuff. And they might think to themselves, you know, what's the point? You know, it's a tiny contribution to a massive problem. How am I even going to make a difference? Well, one man can't necessarily save the world by itself. You know, unless you're Jesus Christ, then you got it made. But as a just an average Joe, you and I, one guy can't save the world. I've tried, and it's just it's an uphill battle. Sometimes you get halfway up the hill and your tire falls off and you roll back down the hill, and then you got to go climb up there and get that tire and come back down and put it back on and get started again and try it over. But you can't give up. And this is one of the things that I found, you know. So I keep on striving to do what it is, because that one little contribution that you're making is adding to the positive ripples that are spanning the globe of time and space itself, for that matter. Because, you know, everything we do here, I'm sure, affects everyone in the galaxy, you know. I just, you know, when you stand there and you look up into the sky and you see the vastness of space, you see all them trillions of stars out there, and you know that every single light in that deal is another star, another galaxy, another universe, or whatever. And you know that there's so many stars up there in space that you start to feel tiny, you know, like a little insignificant speck in the whole grand scheme of things. But that one little tiny insignificant speck has the power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of the action to send out a ripple that will span all of it. You know, you think about that the pay it forward deal. You know, one person does something good for three people. Each one of those three people go out and do something good for another three people, and so on and so forth, and that ripple just keeps on going. Something as simple as a smile could make the difference in the world. And so, as long as I got that belief in my heart, I'm going to keep on saying what it is that I'm saying, because I want to put out positivity. I don't want to put out negativity. I've had my days. I've gotten grouchy. I went on rants. even said a few bad words a time or two. But, you know, stepping back and looking at the big picture, the right thing to have done was to try to show some kind of restraint and just keep on putting the positivity out there. It's a hard thing to do, especially when you know you've done a lot of hard work and you don't feel like somebody recognizes it. Well, brothers and sisters out there from Wake Radio and No Borders and We Roar and Shaking Wake Radio and Shazia's Radio and all the different networks out there, I am more than appreciative of everything you do. I recognize your labor. I recognize your friendship. I recognize all your love and all the good things that you've done. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful and I'm humbled to be a part of your life and you being a part of my life. Man, I just say, person can't have too many friends. You know, and if there's a way to overdose on love, then so be it. Hey, flood it in. I can OD on love. It's not such a bad way to go. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick breather here and throw on a tune. And I know you guys have heard this before because I do this on intentionally. I play a lot of tunes over because there's sort of a little message in there that gives you a little piece of what's going on in my heart. The things that I'm thinking about. You can pretty much judge a man by the music that he listens to, you know. His sense of humor, his thoughts, his feelings, his emotions. There's so much that you can tell from the type of music that people listen to. You know, if you got somebody out there listening to some really rowdy music, chances are that's probably a really rowdy individual. Some folks just love to take a break from life and have fun. So you can't always... You can't always judge a book by its cover, but for the most part, this song right here, some folks don't agree with the artist, but it does have a good message if you think about it. It's coming from both sides of the fence. So with that said, stay tuned, folks. Peace and love, and if any of the Knights want to call in, it'd be a good time to do it.
Stop abusing her. bitch rides the subway with the junkies and the freaks, and Jesus rides the subway with the hustlers and the creeps. He rubs shoulders with the thieves, and he looks a lot like everyone he sees. Oh, Jesus rides the subway while the pretty people sleep. He says you can lay your burden down, your burden down. Oh, maybe you can catch a ride, but you can lay your burden down. Jesus strolls the sidewalks on the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah, Jesus strolls the sidewalks that poverty attacks. Makes his home among the shacks where the fatherless have fallen through the cracks. Yeah, Jesus strolls the sidewalks while the righteous turn their backs. He says you can lay your burden down, you can lay your burden down. Oh, baby, you've been kicked around, you can lay your burden down. Jesus went to church on Sunday. He sat in the back and sang the hymns. But Jesus went to church on Sunday, but they didn't recognize him. He said you can lay your burden down, your burden down. Oh, maybe you've been kicked around, but you can lay your burden, lay your burden down. Yeah.
Trevor Morgan! Come on!
The whole focus is that we're all one. We should take care of everybody and everything, every creation.
Your longest journey on this earth, your longest journey on this earth is from your head to your heart. You don't need to go all over the world. It's right here in front of your head, right in front of your face.
We have to know how to support one another with love and unity. We have to know how to nurture these children and take care of them as a community.
There's no way that we can care carry on and just ignore the things that are happening on Earth. There's a vibration of love that that we need to attain. We need to look at each other as brothers and sisters, accept each other, love each other.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness is everything. And love is forgiveness.
Respect for your elders, respect for your friends, all stems from respect for yourself. That's the first thing I think we have to instill in our children, is that they are somebody. They're somebody very, very important.
Look at your sisters and one another. Heal each other. Love each other. When you heal, the earth will heal. And world peace will prevail.
The most important thing I've learned is that concept of Mataki, Oyasi. We're all related.
Too often, people would rather believe in a person than to believe in God and Spirit, which is right inside them all the time.
But the prayers has the power to change whatever is going on that is not very good and negative. This is what we must do to make that change on the Mother Earth.
Because I really want to know that there's going to be a world, and that there's going to be awareness, and there's going to be love in, you know, in the generations of my granddaughter's children.
There's a lot of learned things, learned prejudices and learned hurts that are carried on from generation to generation to generation. And these are the things that we have to set our children free from.
The spiritual movement is a need. The spiritual meeting and gathering is something that is a must for the society at large, because people are living too fast.
When we stop and we look and we reflect, the only thing that really is going to matter is our relationships with ourselves, our relationships with our family, our relationships with the natural world, our relationship with the higher being. Because money can buy you health and happiness.
Forgiveness is the key. And if we can learn how to forgive, we can have peace on earth. And we can heal ourselves within. And it all starts here.
We're told from the original instructions that was given to us is that when the Creator, the Great Spirit, gave us this music and dance, which is passed on to us in ceremonies, He said, this will be the magic. This will be the language that will elevate the people's minds and spirits. And that's when they will celebrate. That's when you will see harmony, a universal harmony.
It will work if we do it right and do ceremonial right. There will be a work.
We have a challenge in front of us. One of the greatest challenges we have ever had as a race of human beings.
We're at a time when I'm hoping that down the road people will come together as brothers and sisters. Soon, it has to be soon, because we're running out of time now.
On World Peace and Prayer Day, I'm asking each and every one of you who can pray with us on summer solstice, honoring sacred sites. I hope someday we can have a June 21st as an international holiday, because if we create an energy shift upon Mother Earth through prayer and unity, our children would have a future.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one. Throughout humanity's existence on Earth, there have been rulers and there have been the slaves. Which line do you fall into? An easy question with a not so easy answer. The fact of the matter is that by merely being able to listen to the sound of my voice automatically puts you into what I call the real 1%. Nearly 7 billion souls on this tiny speck of sand in this universe, most of them, nearly 6.5 billion, try to scratch out a living on less than $2 per day. The disparity between the haves and have-nots is incredibly wide. Yet, you are the 1%. The 1% which has access to clean water, food, electricity, internet, education, the list goes on and on. Daily, we are conditioned to make money, pay our taxes, because it's patriotic, buy things we really don't need, and to teach our children to do the exact same thing. We live in a world where they're told our personal self-worth is measured by the money we have and the things we own, sometimes not realizing we really don't own anything. After all, we can't take any of it with us when we leave this little speck of dust at the end of the day. We're made to believe that we are unfortunate to those who have more wealth than we do. We are made to believe that because of this disparity, we are the downtrodden, the disadvantaged, without ever looking at the full picture. We are tricked in divisiveness between left and right, between him and her, us and them, between black and white, where there really is no black and white, just many shades of gray. And yet we still run on a treadmill like little rats in a cage. We wake up, we work, we pay tax, we go home, we buy stuff to fill an empty hole in our souls. And the cycle repeats. Instead of doing a more intelligent thing of downsizing, doing with less and helping fellow humanity, we keep running on the treadmill. Bigger houses, fancier cars, bigger TVs. The biggest step to finding a solution is to realize a problem exists. The next step comes from within. I'm Kent Anderson, and you've been listening to Shout Out.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my days. The place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. He perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. Sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. This old King Shazoo's the Terrible here. I got Rick and Annie on here, and I think we got Dieden and Remedy and Dublin. I think he's still in there. So, everybody want to say hi? No? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. Right. Might chip a tooth. So, everybody having a happy Passover, or a happy Easter, or a happy day, or all of the above, or what? Yeah? No? Radio silence. That's just killing. Hey, anyway.
This has got to be the most glorious day in existence of Earth, because this day we're celebrating is the day that this being, Yeshua, Jesus, conquered Satan and death, and it's the reason we were brought back into the fold after we broke the commandments and fell into sin. And so if there's one holiday that anybody who's spiritual should really value, you can throw the rest of them out, you know.
Yeah, that the
even Christmas, because it's not really his birthday.
The story in itself. The story in itself.
Today he won.
Yeah, the story in itself of Jesus is just an incredible story of the ultimate sacrifice, and it's, you know, nobody could ever match that. All right, nobody has the capability of ever matching that. But for each of us to get out there and try. For each of us to try to get out there.
I don't think a human being could have thought. I don't think a human being could have even thought up such a thing.
No, but let me finish my deal here. For each and every one of us to try to, you know, walk that path, you know, it's probably, you know, more than likely impossible for us to ever even get anywhere, even in the general vicinity of that ultimate sacrifice. But I believe that we were here to be caretakers and servants to one another, and to try to, in our own ways, sacrifice for our brothers and sisters around the world. You know, and to me, that story of Jesus, you know, to me it's reality, but to other people out there it might be something different. But that story to me is the goal that I would strive towards as much as I could, knowing that I would probably never be able to even come close, but to try to do something positive to this world. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No?
Oh, for sure. But in a way, in a way, by you being blunt of the truth, you standing for the truth and being willing to die for the truth, you are picking up your cross, and you will be like him on the other side.
Well, you know, even
that book, if it goes by the book, and what he said was correct, and I believe it is, he said that in the end times, those who try to save their life will lose their soul. Those that stand for the truth and pick up their cross will gain their eternal life. So we all will transform spiritually. And that sacrifice he made, we will be persecuted, and many of us, yeah.
What'd you say, Dieden?
Yeah. Right, for the truth.
To die for something greater.
Well,
put your
exactly.
Mortal will, your fleshy confines to the side, and die for something greater than just your physical being.
Yeah, when I listen to this, I think about those. Oh man, we just lost the call. What happened? Anyway, till we get them back, when I think about all the doggone it, join call. Maybe I got lost. Let's try this again. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody, but I had a profound statement that I wanted to make, but I done got lost on the Skype there. Anyway, I'm just saying, when I look out into the world and I see all the people out there essentially trying to build themselves a stairway to heaven paved in gold, you know, build themselves a mansion and drive really fancy cars and all that kind of stuff, and then I think about it. It reminds me of a story one time when I was standing at a piece of property that I used to own, and I did some work on this old barn, and I was out there after a long, hard day's worth of labor, and I'd done a whole lot of cleaning and repairing on this old barn, and I was standing out there by the burn barrel where I was burning off some trash, and I looked at that thing, and it just suddenly dawned on me how insignificant all that work that I just done as far as what it was that I built, you know, there in that place and cleaned up, that, you know, long after I'm gone, that labor would appear to be for nothing. You know, the barn wouldn't even be there. As a matter of fact, the barn isn't there now because the next owner burnt it down. So all that hard work, you know, it just seemed like it went down the hill. There's nothing physical that you got. None of your gold, none of your silver, none of your fancy cars, none of the fancy clothes that you wear. Hold on. None of this that you can take with you when you leave this world. You know, people talk about being buried in their Ferrari. Okay. I don't think you're getting through heaven's gate with a Ferrari. But
you know what'll last longer than anything you build? The legacy you leave, or the words, or the mission, the movement.
The stepping stones paved for the future?
Well, look at some of our forefathers. Anything that they built with their hands is now rotted and gone. But their words live on.
Yep.
What they stood for is what we're fighting for right now.
Exactly. Freedom. Well, that's those to me, when I talk about paving stones, stepping stones for the future of humanity, I'm not talking about, you know, like an actual stone that you put down on the ground. I'm talking about what we're doing with, like you said, with our words and things that will carry on, ideas and dreams and hopes and aspirations and stuff that will carry on, you know. And it's like word of mouth. Here on the internet, you know, it's immortalized in digital code, and somebody will stumble onto it, you know, years down the line, as long as the internet's still there. But as long as it goes from man to man all the way around the world, you know, and those ideas of what it means to be free and what it means to be human, you know, those are the stepping stones. Those are the paving stones that decide whether or not we're going to go over and kill somebody, or whether we're going to go over and have a barbecue with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that was a couple hundred years ago, plus, that this country was founded on certain principles. Let's go back 2014 years, one man's words, and seven people to deliver them, and we're still
talking about it.
Yeah. We believe in it. And yeah. And how many people have been touched by the supernatural because of this person who walked the planet, and seven people that were also willing to continue talking about him, and they also gave their lives also. So we're talking 12 apostles and one guy that they were talking about, and look at what's been done, both good and bad, by misusing his words and stuff, you know. There yep. are those that have done great things, people who have come together, and then there are, you know, the evil side here that we're standing against that has totally rebelled against it and done some pretty evil things in the name of his personhood, or in, you know, with falsehoods about this person that we celebrate who conquered death this morning.
And once again, we were given an amazing gift. The power of the spoken word is just it's amazing. You know, when I talk about, you know, words have consequences, you know, words can literally lift somebody up to the highest points of heaven or drop them down to the lowest depths of hell. And people know words, and they know that words are powerful, and they use words to manipulate societies with lies and propaganda and fear and all this kind of stuff. When you use that power for positivity and you're uplifting spirits and positive information and stuff like that, therein lies the true power, because the ultimate power to me and Easter is or Passover, however people want to say it. I don't mess around in terminology. I just know what it's about for me personally. But when I think about that, I think about the ultimate power, which is love, and it must have took extreme love of humanity to suffer, such as the story told. That, you know, how many average Joes would be willing to go up there for all of humanity and just go through that entire torment of the whole scenario to, you know, shed their blood and their life, you know, for everyone else out in the world? You know, we sacrifice as individuals on a small scale, you know, maybe with our funds or our time, but how many of us would be willing to literally lay down our life to protect the life of another? I personally would do that for anyone.
Every single person who's sincere, who's standing up against the New World Order, is doing that. We're all doing that. Because we know as whistleblowers and using the spoken word to expose the deeds of these people, that if we can't stop them, retribution is coming, and along with roundups and all this stuff. Yet none of us have cowered away from that. So
no, we, you know, if it's a threat that's out there, a potential threat out there, and you're still talking, then to me you're doing the right thing. You know,
it's, yeah, because there are some people who listen to us, but they won't come into the chat room or even make up a fake name. They'll come in with an anon name, or they don't come in at all.
Well, you know,
because they're afraid.
I can understand that, but I'm just, what we're doing here.
I'm totally agreeing with you. Everything I'm saying is pretty much backing up what you're saying.
Yeah.
If it sounds like I'm debating with you, I'm not. I'm saying, you know what, we are walking in his footsteps, and we are standing for the light of the truth.
I agree with you 100%. I was just going to add to what you were saying by saying that, you know, not everybody out there is brave, but, you know, it's a small minority. See, my book tells me that God picks the lesser, the least qualified for the biggest task, and you have to admit, the task that lies before all of us out here on all these networks is so immense. to making this world right. It is just so immense. And, you know, it may be something such as the case that we would never, ever see the fruits of our labor. But those spoken words put down there are the stepping stones for future generations. And I'm telling you, I know the ultimate power of love, it's going to prevail. That's all there is to it.
Well, it's got to be more than that. Because love, if you love the children of the people that are going to grow up in this world, if it's not nuked and we do have society in 50 or 100 years from now, those people who stood up for our independence when this country was started and we broke off from England, if they weren't willing to spill their blood and to stand up, I mean, when you're fighting an enemy that is evil and willing to kill you, well then it's out of love that you make that sacrifice of your own life, and that, you know, that you'd be willing to kill, but for the right reasons, to protect the children of the future. Because if we don't win this battle, the future human beings will be chipped at birth. They're already trying to do that. There will never be freedom on this earth again. And it will take Jesus and the angels to come and destroy Satan and this one world government. If we don't fix this, there is no future for the children.
That's right. We as humanity need to get our house in order before our dad shows up, you know, our father.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
we got really no choice. They've made it plain and simple that other than their own kind, Luciferian Satanists, and the few that they want to re-educate and control, they want to exterminate 80 to 90% of us. So we're dead if we don't win this thing. So you might as well stand up and fight him and try to win it. Because if you sit back and do nothing and wait for somebody else to do something or say something and you don't get involved, it's not just us that are gonna suffer, but it's the children that'll be born in the next couple of decades.
Yep.
They'll be born into slavery.
Our actions today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Say, I see Remedy down there. You got anything you want to add in there, Remedy? Get your microphone on, brother.
Is that Neo there?
Yeah, I can see him, but I can't hear him yet. Jump in there when you feel like it, brother. How about you, Dieden?
I don't know. I see it sin is like darkness, right? Or the power of intention. Say the power of the spoken word. Well, before that is the power of intention, and there is no, from what I can see, there's no greater intention than love. You know, I mean, that's kind of our movement. It's the same thing. It's just the
yeah, that's what drives us.
The defining force of all of our existence. And and when somebody is shrouded in darkness and they don't understand, you know, where their fear comes from, and they haven't reflected and they look outwardly for everything, you know, if you can see that and you understand that, then if you fight them, you basically are fighting the darkness, you know. And when you fight the darkness, it consumes you, it becomes you. But if you shed light on that darkness, you know, then all can see, I guess.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I saw a wonderful movie last night. I don't know if you guys ever seen this movie called Heaven's Gate, where this little girl falls out of the tree and somehow or another ends up with some miracle powers. That she was first, she started off healing little animals, and then by the end of the deal, it turns out that she was given a miracle, but it was supposed to go to one specific individual alone. And at the end of it, it did go to the one specific individual that, I won't tell the whole story, but it did get to the one it was intended for. And then at the final end of the deal, she knew that having helping anyone else out with that power would have a consequence such as she would die. And there was a little girl in there who was dying of cancer, and she said, "I know it's got consequences, but let me do this one last time." And she healed the little girl, and then she died. Of course, then at the end of the movie, I won't tell you how it ended up because that'll ruin the movie for you. But go out there and watch that that movie, Heaven's Gate. It put a tear in my eye. I mean, it was just the sacrifice of the whole deal, putting yourself above, out there for everyone out there in the world, you know. And I believe that that's what this whole thing stands for. Whatever we want to call what's happening here, I believe to be divine intervention from bringing all these people from all these different nations to sit down at the round table, you know, have coffee with each other and shed some tears and laughter and so on and so forth, and bringing a positive message out to the world. I don't believe this is by accident. I don't think it's a coincidence.
No, I don't either. But I just want to say this. I would like to live in a world where everyone loves one another and nobody is committing acts of violence. But when you've got people that oppose that which created people, and they are willing to kill, or they've conspired and they have killed and they've made their plans known, I can understand that you could be consumed by darkness and evil can beget evil. But there just comes a point where resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And if you value your life or freedom, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin or somebody who said, if a man doesn't have something he'd be willing to die for, then he doesn't deserve to live. And as much as the power of intention and trying to focus and think just overcome evil just with our thoughts,
well, it's actions too. I'm not saying right. Thoughts alone, but before an action happens, you
this
know,
is a
thought,
yeah.
Usually.
Well, I mean, do you think that people on this planet can pray together or hold hands, and that these satanic people with their plans to murder 90% of us could ever just change their mind? Do you think that we could do that through positive intention through our minds? Because
a resistance doesn't have to be violent.
Well, see, here's my view.
Let me
each other's hands.
Yeah.
And all.
Well, I mean, but
just said, screw those guys.
Yeah.
They don't need to have control.
Right.
Or power, since that is their crutch. We will show them.
Right.
That's not the.
Well, what about if they come? If people blow things up and blame it on other people who didn't do it. Or like patriots.
People always have been and probably always will continue to, so long as we have a...
I just want to ask you, in your mind, when you're fighting people that would kill masses of other people, and then let's say on the TV news it says, patriots did this. People who believe in Jesus and God and their rights, militiamen did this, so now we're going to have to take all your guns away, we're going to have to round up anybody who's anti-government, and these people are going to come after you with guns with the intent that you surrender or they're going to kill you.
Come together and we let the world see.
At that point, do you think that in your mind, is it ever time to stand up and fight violence with violence?
In my mind,
is there ever a point where when you don't want to be violent, but somebody's coming to do harm to innocent people, right? When would you Because I'm hearing from you last week and today that, like, we should love them. You're not going to love Satanists to murder people who get off on murdering children and want to destroy the United States and take everything we own and kill the majority of us.
Well, Rick,
we need to pray, but we also need to stand up against them. And if that means
Rick,
all up war, yeah.
Jesus said that the faith of a mustard seed could move mountains.
Right.
And so I believe in the power of this book. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of the spoken word, to the extent that if enough people on this planet stood up and said no, while they were mowing down the innocent, and more people stood up and said no, and they mowed down some more innocent, and even more people stood up and said no, I believe that before it was all said and done, there would be more people standing than there would be more people laying on the ground, that outnumbered the evil 10 to 1.
Right, but we outnumber them, so I'm just saying we all have a right to defend our lives and our freedom.
And I don't disagree at all. Yeah. I don't disagree at all, but,
how many people are you going to kill before you realize that you're just killing yourself?
And then the question is, at what point?
Wait a second. Wait a minute. If somebody's trying to kill me or my wife, how many people am I going to kill? As many who keep coming to try to kill us. Let me finish. It's self-defense, man. They're the aggressor. If somebody is trying to kill you, you have a right to defend yourself. And that don't make me evil at all. I'm sorry you caused me to do that. If you come to my house with the intent to kill me, okay, I have a right to take your life to defend mine or Annie's. And I don't know where you get these ideas, man.
Well,
this is like the second time, no matter what I say, you're throwing like some sort of Luciferian mojo that, like, we should just lay down.
What did you say earlier about those who try to save their life will lose it?
Right. But you, in other words,
I'm not saying that somebody's attacking you not to defend yourself. I never said that. I'm just trying.
But you asked me how many people am I going to kill before I become evil
and destroy half the world. That's what you're talking about, right? People who want to kill the 90% of the population. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the one person who comes to your house or the group of people that come to your house.
Yeah, somebody climbs through my window, I'm going to bust a cap in them.
Well, we are quickly approaching a point where we're getting to a point where they're going to kill us, or we're going to have them arrested, citizen grand juries or citizens arrests, and have trials, or it's going to be all-out war. I mean, one side is going to win this thing.
All I'm saying,
and they're playing it. You know how they're playing it? You know why we can't? You know why we can't?
How many thousands of years we've repeated the same patterns over and over and over again? And we talk about waking up. Doesn't sound like waking up to me. It sounds like doing the same thing over and over again.
Well,
we're just going to start killing each other again.
Well, they've been in control of all that. They've been in control of that. They've been causing this.
You're in control of it. I'm in control of it. We're all in control of it. There's no reason to blame someone else.
We got to
blame someone else. Wait a minute. I go on the air 3 hours a day exposing the crimes of these people with,
and rightfully so,
guests and stuff.
And rightfully so. But listen, guys,
great. Spread the awareness of that. But I'm saying that you are responsible for yourself, and I'm responsible for myself. Shaziz is responsible for himself, and
so on down the line.
When that time comes that you feel you need to defend yourself,
if foreign soldiers and lying propaganda, if they pull a false flag and blame it on people who are anti-government, and then roundups are going to begin of anybody who's ever spoken out against the government.
Let me ask you something now. Do you use money?
Let me finish.
Do you use money?
Okay, well, I'll just tell you right now, we're all guilty, because if you pay an election...
That's my point. When we hold hands and we all come together and we decide to stand up, that's when it will happen.
Look what happened out at the Bundy Ranch, guys. That was profound. You know, they were there with the potential that things could really seriously get ugly, and what overcame the whole deal wasn't the need to violence. It was there. You know, they said, "Look, you push us in the corner, we'll do whatever it takes to defend our freedom."
Right.
But words is what basically won that day. You see what I'm saying?
Right, actually, the fact that they didn't shoot, because if they had shot, we've done some shows since then, if they had shot, the TV news would still be talking about 500 murderous militiamen that are on the run, and we need to lock down the states, and we need to search your houses and find these guys, because they just murdered a bunch of federal agents.
Of course they would. That's because the mainstream media is bought and paid for, just like all the politicians out there. But you and me, Rick and Annie and Dieden and Remedy and Dublin and everybody else out there, we're not bought and paid for. We're not. Yeah. You can't give us a prize.
That's why we're warning people of what's happening likely next, because some inside information that I got says that... the BLM agents acted on their own, gave the cows back because they weren't going to die for those cows, and their backup wasn't there for them.
Well, I can believe
it. And so they were being set up. The way this was supposed to go down was the militia guys were expected that they would get violent, and then the New World Order could demonize them on the news, but luckily, by the grace of God, they didn't.
You know what they did before they went down there?
What's about to happen next, if it goes like what I've been told, is that the Agenda 21 New World Order folks that control everything, they're not giving up. They're going, the farm has not been released, and... Patriot members and protesters are on their way back there. And this time around, because they know that the Patriots exercised restraint, you can count on some provocateurs being amongst those militiamen. And those provocateurs are going to fire on federal agents. And when the firing starts, the Patriot movement will be demonized, and the gun grab is going to begin, and so will martial law, as at least in that area. And if they make claims that the people, after killing federal agents, have taken off to other states, then they could probably extend it even further, and what you're going to see on the news will be horrendous. So the word needs to get out to stay away from that place, or to make sure that nobody fires a shot. And if somebody does fire a shot, you'll know that they're a provocateur agent, somebody that that went in there on purpose to start something. That's what I'm hearing through people that I know.
Well, that
it's not over yet down there, and because the Patriots restrained themselves and didn't fire, the next time, if this becomes a huge protest and hundreds of more militia show up this time, some of the people that are going to show up are going to be provocateurs, government agents, or Satanists that will fire on the feds. And once the firing starts, all hell's going to break loose. And then the media will have their demonizing plans to put forward on the news that, "See, we told you these people were violent, crazy killers."
Well, let's hope that they do what they did last time. They all had a prayer before they walked down there, and everything worked out fine. You know, I'm hoping for the best, because I believe in miracles. And like
right.
I said, you know, I'm saying that I believe in the power of the spoken word. you know?
I do too. But we know these people will stage fake things.
Well, yeah, that's blatantly obvious. They've done it before. They'll do it again. But
So if they can't get Militia Man to fire on federal offices down at that ranch, I give it a couple months and you will see an incident that will be blamed on the Patriots, because they need to take the guns and they need to demonize the constitutionalist Patriots, Bible believers. I mean, they will stage something. If
let's hope not.
Well, I mean, that's what they do. They do the same thing over and over again. Hitler did it. Stalin did it. They've been doing it.
Yeah, but they were all given power by the people underneath them.
No. Base. I'm talking about a Sandy Hook, Boston.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Expect an incident that they will blame. We'll put it this way. There's a document, Operation Northwoods. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yep.
That was written up by, you know, the CIA. What they wanted to do was they were going to dress American contractors. They call them contractors. From what I understand, a contractor is like somebody who paints or does masonry or construction.
Contractors are pretty much like what?
Mercenaries.
60% of our wars right now are...
Well, I'm just saying, see, they use that word, contractors. What it means is mercenaries. They were going to dress up mercenaries, contractors, as Cuban soldiers, and they had plans to blow up and murder people throughout Florida, and they were going to blame it on Castro so we'd have a reason to invade. And Kennedy found out and said, no freaking way, you know? So what I'm saying is this type of mentality has been around for a long time, and the Patriots have really, you know, the militiamen and the armed citizens, for the most part, they have really stuck to their guns, even though we have been hit first many times, Oklahoma, 9/11, all of these fake false flags that they're doing to try to take the guns. But we know that they are very well capable of staging something. And for all we know, the people that they'll say were killed might just be, you know, actors and people that could be just, you know, a movie set job that's filmed. And then the news media runs it. And you know, we're going to have to be ready for something like that. And the reason I say that they would do that is because they've done that before, and it's been in the plan since before I was born, Operation Northwoods. So we're at a time where they're desperate to get the guns, and they really need to brainwash the public not to listen to government conspiracy theorists and people who talk about constitutional rights or believe in the Bible and stuff. They've really set us up. So it's only logical to be on guard for what they might try to pull and not play into it.
And therein lies that what our need to do is to keep everyone informed of things, to point this stuff out before it gets to where it is. But at the same sense, we got to do it with responsibility so that these guys on the other side can't point at us and make it look like, you know, we're just nutcases, you know, because you hear it all the time. Why would my government do this? You know how many people would have to be involved in the Boston bombing? Well, yeah, I do understand that it was a big deal. But, you know, if you go on the FEMA website, they literally have a non-disclosure agreement that if you're involved in one of these drills, it's a crime to say anything about it, you know?
Right, yeah. I've seen the, you know, people don't want to believe that they use crisis actors. There's contracts for these crisis actors.
But at the end of the day, we are the ones who give them the power to rule over us by allowing them to do what it is
always
that they're
in
doing.
The present. Always in the present.
Yep. That's why they have
to... Future is an illusion.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen.
That's why they have to... That's why they have to brainwash people with propaganda in that television set. So we need to let people know that... you know, they lied about 9/11 and Oklahoma and everything else. They're liars, and we need to inform the public that this is coming. They're going to blame patriots, and it's not going to be patriots and militia. It's going to be a lie, a setup of what's known as a false flag.
Yep.
Because if they go over the television news and convince the majority of the people, the reason why they do that is because they do need the public's mandate to say, yeah, these people are sick, they're crazy conspiracy theorists, round them up, lock them up for life, take their guns away. And we're in a real danger that they might be able to pull that off. You know, how many people believe you when you say 9/11 was an inside job, or Oklahoma wasn't done by Tim McVeigh, or Chuck Baum didn't do that? I mean, we need to unbrainwash these people, or we need to take back the media somehow.
Well, taking back the media is as simple as doing what it is we're doing right now. We're just creating a new media and giving people that option to listen to, you know. And if you really look into it, you'll find out the alternative media is kicking the mainstream media in the butt because people are tired of it. They know the mainstream media is lying, and so they come to alternative media to get their information, you know.
Yeah, but they want to rule them by emotion, you know. The biggest thing that went after the militias, Tim McVeigh in that daycare center in that building. You know, you got a bunch of dead kids and paper pushers and stuff, and, you know, you blame the right-wing patriot that he was pretending to be. And, man, it just swept across the country with patriots were being, you know, federal agents were going around confiscating guns, and so many people got shaken down, and we can't allow that to happen this time. Because they are going to try to push for you know, anybody who speaks against the government is a potential killer, like what you see. You know, they're going to stage an event. They're going to stage an event, and it's going to be so horrendous, and people are going to act on their emotions. Like the Sandy Hook thing, kids were killed, right? But they weren't. But it looks like they were, and that's what they sold to the public. And all I'm saying is if people react on their emotions and they buy what the government has up their sleeve, we're just those of us who even speak, even if you don't own a gun, but just speaking against the government, will put you into a terrorist category that we're already in through the Patriot Act and everything.
Well, you know, that book we keep talking about says it told this whole story.
That it did.
Yeah, it said many that we would be persecuted in his name, and that, you know, that I saw the multitudes that would be persecuted and beheaded for my namesake.
Yep.
So if that's correct and we're in those times, then we're saints. We're the modern day saints.
Well, then I guess it's going to be up to us to try to uphold that position in the most respectful and profound manner possible. And, you know, we do what we have to do when we have to do it, and that's all there is to it. And,
right. And have our spiritual armor on, and we need to pray.
Yep.
We need to be of one mind.
But in the meantime,
and not be afraid. And not be afraid.
But in the meantime, because in my personal beliefs, because it says in that book that no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night, then that tells me that in the meantime, while all this is waiting to play out, I'm going to try to make this world a better place with whatever method I can to try to spread positive peace, hope, and love, and to get my brothers and sisters around the table to help me clean this house up before, you know, our Father shows up. You know, it's now that's going to make the difference. If there are to be a future generation, we are paving the stones. We are defining the world that they will live in. And so I believe this is an awesome responsibility of us to pave the proper stones that don't lead to war. You see where I'm coming from?
Right. We need to resist it until there is no other, till we're in a corner and there's no other way to go.
Yeah.
And it has to be out of love and to protect, not out of vengeance or maliciousness.
Yeah. So I think I think we're all in agreement on that.
We are, and that's what I would imagine that the reason why Awake Radio and Shaziz and 1800 online and everybody that supports us, there's no other network like this in the world.
Nope.
This thing that we've got going, you go to any chat room on any other network, anywhere, and Annie and I have seen them, and we've seen a lot of them fall in the last 7 years. Yep. Orion is gone, Oracle's gone, AFR, American Freedom Radio's gone, and others that anybody who's got commercial sponsors, there's only a few left, and at most of those places, they treat it like they're dictators, and there's constant trolling going on, and constant bickering and infighting. And what we have here is unlike anything in this Freedom Patriot movement. We don't do that here. When somebody comes in a chat room and exhibits that behavior, they're gone real fast.
That's what the whole Knights of the Round Table was all set up to be. Is it just what you said? You know, we're family, and you know, we respect each other. We agree to disagree in a respectful manner. But we who actually believe in the dream, we have, you know, a dream, and we will fulfill it. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
We also have something special here, and we have a place where people can communicate. And if someone comes in shooting at one of us, then everybody else who's a moderator has their back.
Yep.
We don't tolerate that. If you come in guns blazing, you're gone. We take you out.
I just don't understand
you, you can
tolerate.
People can have a debate in the chat room, but you know, you come in foul mouthed and being totally trying to destroy one of our brothers and sisters, and somebody's going to be there to ban you. You know, it would be like if we were all standing in a room together, and somebody comes in, like at a church, and starts shooting at our brothers and sisters. Well, the rest of us who are armed, we're going to take that person down so they don't shoot our brothers and sisters. And it's kind of like the same thing in a chat room. You can come in and have a disagreement with people respectfully, but like you come in and start using total profanity, attacking a specific person and just going off the crazy chain just to be belligerent, like someone did on Good Friday when we were doing Full Armor Friday. They went after Annie's throat being really profane. And this is around the time that Jesus would have been on the cross, technically, between noon and 3 o'clock. And Annie didn't have to say anything. Rick Rittenor just went in and boom, they were gone. And that's the way it works.
Yep.
But I mean, it was because we were speaking powerful things. We were having a great roundtable, spiritual music. We had played some...
Oh, you should see Mick's computer was totally locked.
Oh, yeah, we got hacked, too.
It was totally locked. I'd never seen that computer act like
we
that.
We got hacked, and my
Sam Everton.
My Avast software and my malware bytes was going off, blocking attacks left and right.
Well, you'll find out that that's a common occurrence here on this network, but it's all right because we are back up and running out right after they do it, so you can't hold a good message down, that's all I can say.
Oh, right. Yeah, I laughed about it because what it said was that it said that we pissed them off. We were speaking truths about the real... about our creator and the power of the spiritual armor, and they don't have any real power over us. I mean, they can kill the body, but they can't kill the spirit or the message.
Well, you know what? I think that as long as we keep our own faith and as long as we keep doing what it is that we're doing, we're just going to keep throwing the positive pebbles in the pond. We will make this world a better place, no matter what.
Oh, we will. And you can't be defeated unless you're going to bow.
Well, I ain't doing that.
If the Antichrist takes a seat on that throne and says, you bow to me or you die, well, then I guess I die.
Well,
and Andy feels the same way, you know?
That's where I come from. You know, it's the ultimate sacrifice. Once again, you know, I'm not going to bend if that's what it takes, and so be it. You know,
yep.
But I'm not sacrificing my beliefs or my soul or my future or whatever over, you know, evil. If evil's there, I'm going to speak out against it. If evil shows up at my doorstep, I'm going to fight it off, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make
yep.
things right. And I believe that I was empowered by these words that were told to me that come down from, what, a couple thousand
prophets
years back?
Yeah.
And I was told that, you know, this is what I need to be doing. So, you know, I want to see the world a better place. No man knows the time or day. And in the meantime, I'm not going to sit around while the house is falling apart and not pick up a hammer and a nail and try to fix something. So I'm going to keep on trying to fix whatever I can fix, you know, whatever I have the funds to fix or the mind or mentality. And I'm going to spread a positive message of peace, hope, and love around the world. And when people ask me what it is that I believe, I'm going to tell them what I believe in a truthful manner, you know, regardless of the consequences. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I think of all the people I've met in this movement just from hearing you speak, that you would be in the top three as far as being right on. Of all the people I've met in 7 years since I woke up, I would put you in the top three.
We met a lot of people too.
Yeah.
Well,
totally. I totally agree with you. And another thing is, have you ever heard the story about the man on the beach? He's picking up starfish that had washed up on the beach, and the sun is cranking. So there's thousands of starfish on the beach, and he's throwing them back into the ocean. And he's out there every day doing this. And this guy who jogs by every day sees the guy and shakes his head all the time. And he jogs by and never says nothing. Well, one day he stops and he says, hey, let me ask you something. I see you out here every day. You know, these starfish keep washing up on the beach, you know, and the sun's going to dry them out. They're going to die. And I see you out here every day. You're throwing them back into the water. You know, you can't save all of them. So what are you wasting your time for, he says. And he goes, well, he's got one in his hand. He throws it back in the water and he goes, well, all the ones that you've seen me picking up and that one right there made a difference for all of them, you know.
Yep.
And that's all we can do, like you were saying. We can't save everybody. You can tell somebody, don't drink that soda because it's got aspartame in it. Or don't, you know, you should drink distilled water or purified water because fluoride water and, you know, government water has toxins in it and stuff. But if they won't listen and they're going to do what they're going to do, well,
at least
you planted a seed, you tried.
Well,
you
got to
shake your dust, from your feet and keep going. Just like if you're planting seeds, like one of the stories from the Bible, some of the seeds fell on rocks and burned up in the sun and some fell on fertile soil and grew tenfold. We can't be worrying about the ones that won't listen. Because maybe you think they're not listening, but you give them a little bit of information. Maybe they're going to go home, and in a couple months from now, they will have looked into the Federal Reserve or these words Illuminati, and they'll be on their journey. You got to just keep moving, because time's a-wasting, and while you're talking to somebody who's telling you they don't want to hear it and they think you're nuts, well, you're wasting time that you could be talking to somebody who might be receptive to the information.
Well, that's where the whole plant the seed thing comes in. You plant the seed and walk away, brother.
Yeah, and you could always come back next week and see if it grew a little bit.
Yeah, put a little water on it.
Yeah.
But you can't stand over it yelling saying grow, because I'm going to grow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and if it's going to grow, it's going to grow. Dude, you know, God's going to make that seed grow. If you don't want it to grow, it's not going to grow.
Yeah.
Our eyes were open because you believe we were touched by a creator or a supernatural that brought us together, and everything happens for a reason. And it was written that he would pour a great delusion upon the majority. So, if he wants their eyes closed for whatever reason, and he's all-knowing, well then, who are we to feel bad because we can't get them to open their eyes? If that's his will and he's the creator and knows best, and it was written that most people would fall for the great falling away and the great delusion, and they would not see. They would not see, and they would be haters of the truth and rebellious. So if that's their choice, they've made it. You tried, you know what I'm saying? You tried.
Well, back to your story about the starfish, Dieden, I think you said that's a great story, and I agree. That story right there is pretty much what we've been talking about all along, you know, making a difference. You know, you think that the thing is so overwhelming that you can't make a difference, but that one guy standing out there putting the starfish back in there, you know, he made a difference. Maybe not to the ones that he couldn't get to, but to the ones that he did get to, he did make a difference. So that was a really good story.
Yeah, and I also like the other one where footprints, have you heard that one?
Yep. Those the times when you saw one set of footprints was the times that I was carrying you.
Yeah. And we all feel that way at times.
Yeah.
You know? He said there would be days you would seek me and you won't, you know, you'd think I'm not with you. But he says when two or more of you are gathered in my name, I'm amongst you. You know, his spirit, the spirit of the Creator, whatever people believe it is, I mean, unless you're a Satanist or you're on the fence and you just don't know or you're undecided, but, there is something divine going on in the awakening that's happening. And those that are awake and are waking up, and they feel it, they know it. Like in the Matrix, when he meets the Oracle, being the one is like being in love. It's just something you know. I don't think God touched me and woke me up. I know he did. I don't think that we're on a mission. I know we are.
Well, when I get up in the morning and, you know, sometimes I make the fatal mistake of actually looking at the news and seeing what's going on out there in the world, there's some days that I feel like, you know, what's the point? You know, what is the purpose? Because nothing's changing. It just seems like it's so... to me, that's Satan telling me, you know, trying to discourage me from getting out here, putting out a positive message to the world.
For sure. And Steve and I were talking about times that they've had in the past when there's just something in the air where people are just at each other's throats. And we have to remember, this is a spiritual battle. Whether anybody believes that or not, there's other dimensions besides the ones we see with our eyes and our ears. And when you get a thought in your head that's negative or tells you to attack somebody else, you got to ask yourself, is that coming from you or is that coming from this spiritual battle? Because These demonic forces are going to try to turn people against you. They're going to try to frustrate you and make you feel like you should. They want to wear you down. That's the name of the game. So that you'll give up.
Well, look at the constant bickering back and forth between the Democrats versus the Republicans versus the Libertarian versus the Atheists, the Christians, the Buddhists, the Muslims, and all. There is got to be something behind the scenes why all these folks are sitting there arguing back and forth amongst each other. There's a dark side, there's a light side. There's good, there's evil. There's good, there's bad, there's vice versa. You know what I'm saying. But, you know, for folks out there to not believe that this is some sort of spiritual divine intervention is to essentially fool yourself, because there is a dark side. And I know that each and every individual out there has seen it. You know, how could you not see it? If you see a baby with a tear in his eye laying in the middle of the dirt starving with a big belly because he's bloated from not eating and all that kind of stuff, that's pure evil, man. How could any human being on any portion of this planet not think that that's pure evil, that there would be people out there with the means to help that baby but not helping that baby?
Well,
and going over and looking on the other side of the world where they're not necessarily starving over there, but they're right in the midst of a war zone, and these children are being raised up in this war zone that will perpetuate them to be the future warriors, because there was a drone that just went in and killed some folks, supposedly the bad guy, and in the process of killing the bad guy, took out what's called collateral damage and killed another baby's mom and dad. So there are consequences to every action out there, and these individuals who are sending people into war, they know that there is a consequence to that. They're going to cause death, they're going to cause destruction, and to me, if you're in the position of power to where you have the capability of sending an army into the deal, you better be 150,000% beyond the shadow of a doubt justified, and make doggone sure that you're not going in there to harm any innocent. But that never happens in war. War is chaos, and there's always innocence that ends up getting destroyed in the midst of war.
The Satanists that caused the wars, that financed the wars, that are behind all of this stuff, picture them, they're like somebody who's on death row, who's got a date with the electric chair already. They've been pronounced dead by our Creator. They're at war with our Creator. The sentence has already been delivered upon them. So they're like somebody with, they're a group of people with nothing to lose. So it does not matter to them. What they're doing to humanity is because out of revenge, because you can't send them to hell or destroy them more than once. They're going for eternity eventually. So they got nothing to lose. So they, you know, I mean, what you were talking about, babies starving in other countries, I'm sure if we all had the wealth that was stolen from us, we would all pitch in to make sure babies aren't starving. But let's just look at the depth of evil that we got that would fund something called Planned Parenthood that would really be the extermination of children, or that would set up a medical industry that would deliberately kill people with radiation treatments and chemotherapy, claiming, tricking them into thinking this is the only thing you can do, or that the millions of children born in this country, that when before they leave the hospital, they are being injected with some of the worst toxins and poisons that are doing absolutely no good. In fact, these things are designed to cause illnesses and ailments. And, you know, I have two family members with autism. Annie's got a best friend whose child has autism, and Paula's son has autism. And we're talking about maniacs that would create a system, fund it, and make it mandatory that you have a baby, you're in the hospital, and if you're stupid enough to go along with it, they're going to inject your kid with, you know, 20 or 30 shots that are going to guarantee that they're going to develop some sort of ailments, or they might end up messed up for life at some point, because you can't take a fresh, brand new baby perfect out of the womb and inject them with all these toxins and not expect. I mean, they are deliberately doing what they do maliciously to destroy. They are the destroyers, and our creator is the creator.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Maybe that's true. But maybe, just maybe, it's a lack of awareness or knowledge. And I look
it's
at it this
both.
Way. It's probably a mix of both, you know. It's a, like a separation from the creator, basically, right? But perhaps this is kind of a determining factor in it too, is that our entire society is based upon monetary gain and separation, you know, and fighting with each other.
And lies, propaganda.
And the idea that there is scarcity. And
they create that. It's artificial scarcity.
Well, we all kind of create it, though. Like, I mean, I use money still, and I drive a car that burns fossil fuels, and, you know, I'm not exempt from that.
Yeah, but you buy things and pay taxes to the government that, you know.
Right. I've been sponsor a war or whatever, you know, but the idea of that is much I think it's much deeper. It's like a subconscious thing, you know. It's like something we're not fully aware of yet, and we're slowly kind of coming around.
I think
both of you,
people will perish for lack of knowledge.
What
if the people had that knowledge, we could stand up and we wouldn't have to fire a shot. Maybe go ahead. My people will perish for lack of knowledge. Well, the ones who have knowledge go into the hospital and they say, for religious reasons, I don't want my child getting shots. And they don't force them on you. They try, but they don't. One of the patriots in the movement, Bob Tuscan, recently had a baby, and that's what he did. He went in and he said, you're not giving my child vaccines. And they really tried to force him, but he said, you're not going to do it. And, you know, in other words, if you know what their tricks are, and I mean, that's the reason for Awake Radio, why we've been given three hours a day, 6 days a week since we started here.
If money's not playing, you know, if there's no personal gain, but instead of a gain, you know, it's like a progression for all of humanity, I think that, you know, there's certain vaccines that may possibly help. You know, we don't know, because I know I haven't researched it extensively. You know what I mean? So I'm saying, I mean, like, for example, polio. Maybe this is the perversion of it in the first place, is that polio, the guy who came out with the polio vaccine, he gave it away for free. He didn't want to see kids with polio anymore, and quite literally cured, you know, millions of people with polio.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they got laws now that you can't.
The industry saw it and was like, oh, we can make money off this.
Well, you know what they passed now? If you cannot sue the manufacturers of a vaccine if anybody gets sick or dies and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a deliberate
self-preservation. The mind is always trying to self-preserve itself. You know, that's what the mind does. It doesn't want. Nobody wants to die. And when you think of your mind and you think of that's who you are, then death becomes very scary.
Can I ask you how old you are, by the way?
I'm 31. I'm still quite young.
Okay.
Well, guys, what it all boils down to is, and I'm sure you both agree that what we're doing here about spreading knowledge and stuff like that, and the positive messages and stuff, people that aren't awake, you know, it's our job to try to plant those seeds to get them awake. At the end of the day, each and every one of us is responsible for this whole mess, because we have to put the information out there for one.
right. But once you know the truth, it's your duty to share.
But we also have to teach people in a respectful manner how to stop feeding the beast that is literally eating humanity alive. And as long as people go to the polls and they pull that lever down not knowing the full story of the man who they're voting for, these guys will get in there, they'll get bought and sold out. As long as we are allowing people in all these different nations to be able to make money off of being a congressman or a senator or a representative of any sort, as long as we're allowing them to have the potential to where they can gain financially and build their stairway to heaven in their own life at everybody else's expense, then we can't change that system. How we can change the system is from the ground up for each and every one of us to do what it is that we know that we are capable of doing. If I'm in a neighborhood and you tell me from your side of the deal, hey, I heard this story, there's a starving family down in your neighborhood, can you go over there, brother, and give them some food? I can do that, and I will do that. This is how our real power is. It's not just with the power of the spoken word, but the power of our actions, because I know there's trouble in your side of the town. I can help you address it with research or whatever, but if you know there's something going on in my neighborhood, I can get out there and I can do something about it. I can be proactive in the fight, but we are not helpless. As bad as this all sounds, we are not helpless. There's a lot of evil people in this world, but in my view, there are more good people in this world, and from the ground up, spreading that positive pebble out there into the pond, we can literally make a difference. We can shut evil down right at the doorstep. You know what I'm saying?
If every person turned off their TV and they listened to the hosts and to the documentaries that Stephen and Paula play on this network, and some of the documentaries that other hosts, when they take it over, play. If they listen to this network for a month, all the documentaries on vaccines, radiation, all the different things that are exposed on this network, for 1 month, if they would give up TV, then we could just stand and really, then it wouldn't be so much my people perish for lack of knowledge, because I truly believe in this network. That's why I'm given 3 hours a day on the air, sometimes coming on at night for another 3 hours doing a round table or on our days off. We were initially doing 5 days a week, and it's six, plus I'm helping to bring other hosts to the network, and I'll do anything for all of you people.
Everybody. Everybody listening out there who believes in this message can make some flyers or tell a friend or whatever, you know, and get them here to do exactly what you're saying, to listen in, to hear it, and to fact check it, and to point it out if they know for a fact that we're wrong. You know, because we're not here to put out disinformation. We're here to try to make a difference in this world. This is a battle between good and evil. And the only ones who can defeat this outside of our Lord and Savior is us. We were put here to do something. We were put here. We weren't put here by accident. God didn't make no trash, you know. We were put here on purpose, intentionally, for a reason. And I believe that our reason, as far as all these networks right here, was to go out and be servants to one another, to be the caretakers of the land and the animals and the water and the seas, the fishes, everything, you know. And at this point in history, for the most part, humanity's doing a terrible job, because we see it, we hear it, and we're allowing corrupt individuals such as the guy occupying the White House right now, to destroy everything that this country was supposed to stand for, to destroy the world in general. I mean, going over and being the world's police in all different nations, bombing and killing and shooting. You can't sell drugs if nobody's sick. You can't sell bullets if nobody's at war. You can't sell anything, you know, unless this is where it all comes to. This is how you can point out the truth of the matter to the deal. Why would they give you why would they give you a cure to cancer when they're making trillions of dollars off of the drugs, and you sit there and you read the drug on there, you read the vaccine, and the possible side effects are worse than the doggone disease itself.
Just the word side effects is a lie. It's based on the effects, but they coined that word. I mean, these people, it's psychological warfare. They are...
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think that a baby comes into this world evil?
No.
No. No, but I will say this much. The world itself and the flesh has a tendency to be wicked. We have fallen into sin, and what you're exposed to, if you were born on another planet where there is no war and everyone is respectful, then you'd be respectful. But if you're born in the ghetto where your brothers and friends deal drugs to get it to make money, well, then you're probably going to deal drugs to make money. So we are somewhat victims of what's around us. Just like if I gave a bunch of people at Awake Radio a blank CD, and let's say that blank CD is a newborn baby, and I told everybody, pass this CD around to your friends. What I want you to do is I want you to put one song on the CD, and I want you to pass it to a friend and let them put one song, and after you passed it to, say, 20 people, then everybody give me back the CDs. We're going to have a bunch of different CDs with different type of music on it and everything. Now, if my friends are all spiritual people who like uplifting music, my CD might have Hold Your Head Up and Johnny Cash songs and How Great Thou Art or You'll Never Walk Alone by Elvis or Dixieland. And you and some of your friends, you know, you're young enough to be my son. I could be your dad. I'm 50 years old and you're 31. So if I had a kid at 19, you could be my son. If your friends like to listen to songs that are like, let the bodies hit the floor, and stuff like that, right, and rap music or hip-hop, your CD is going to be like this violent montage of disrespect and so on. And I'm not saying that that's what you and your friends listen to. But the point I'm trying to make is, now, they're all the same plastic CD that was blank when they came out of the same package. Like, say, a bunch of babies born in the same hospital. But then they all go home to their different environments and the family members, you know. And if you got family members that walk around saying, I hate black people and using the N-word and stuff like that, if you're not smart enough to educate yourself and to be different, then you're going to probably grow up to be a racist because dad was a racist and your uncle's a racist. And, you know, to a certain degree, we are
products of our environment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
At the end of the day, we were given free will. Yeah. We both have...
He wanted to know if you believe that children are born good or evil or whatever.
No, I don't believe that they're born good or evil. I believe that they're born with both capabilities to make the decision to do right or wrong. And you know, I believe all humans have that capability, and I believe it's for a purpose. So, you know,
even moral parents will have a child at 2 or 3 years old when you say, Mommy told you not to take no cookies, that we're going to eat dinner first.
What in tarnation?
Who's that?
Annie, why did the media player suddenly go off? It just went off and started playing Bill Samson's song.
Well, to finish my answer right there, look, I believe that everyone's born with the potential to be both good and evil. And you can see that in the baby whenever you got to start teaching that baby from day one.
Yeah,
the difference between right and wrong.
If they want the cookie, they'll hide it behind their back and you'll say, did you take a cookie? And a child's natural instinct out of selfishness So yes, humanity does have a little bit of evil in it.
So once again, that brings you back to the power of your actions, the power of spoken word, and the power of the pen. You know, what you do with the children, what you teach them, you essentially teach people how to treat you. You teach people how to treat others. And before it's all said and done, if you allow them to run around and listen to the hateful rap music that degrades women and society as a whole, and talking about busting the cap and everybody's you-know-what and all this kind of jazz, then essentially you're part of the problem. You know, that's just it. That's from my view.
Yeah. So, I totally agree. We have a moral responsibility with the young people. And the other thing, too, you can go the opposite way. You can be a nice person, and you can be too nice, and people will walk all over you.
Yeah,
you have to have the right amount of forgiveness and letting things go. But at the same time, if you go into a job and a man treats you like crap in front of the other employees, if you don't tell him, excuse me, respectfully, I don't take that from employers. And if you can't talk to me respectfully, then I'm taking my toolbox and I'm going home.
And that's
if you don't nip it in the bud, or if you're in a relationship with a woman who gets drunk and she's mean and throws a coffee cup at your head, if you don't tell her, you ever throw something at me again, I'm leaving. And if she does, you gotta go. Because if you take people's abuse like that, then you are enabling it. And they will do it again. And I know, because I've been there. I've been in abusive relationships, or I've had a job where I didn't want to lose the job, or I took abuse at another network that we were at when I should have said, you know what? I kept up my end of the bargain, you're not keeping yours, and I'm out of here. But I took the abuse and was crucified, because it meant a lot to Annie to be on the air and reaching out to people and trying to reach people. So I took it, and I took it, and I took it. And then Barry came along, and now I'm here, and I'm happy. Because I had been at a place where I wasn't happy, and I can appreciate good people over here.
Well, and we got to keep the ball rolling, man. We got to not fight amongst us ourselves. It's, you know, the whole divide and conquer thing that I tried to point out earlier is that even in the midst of your local church, you have feuds going on between there. You got people whispering behind each other's backs and talking, about each other. You know,
they're not real Christians.
Well, I know that, and I understand that, but I'm saying it happens all over the place. You know, I talk about, you know, if I'm going to be a Christian, I got to be a 7-day-a-week Christian, not a, you know, once a week I dress up in a fancy suit and put on a show kind of deal, because I have to lead by example, otherwise people look at me, I'm a hypocrite, you know. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to try to do positive on a daily basis as best I possibly can. So, you know, with that said, when I talked about how our backs are against the wall. If you think there's not evil in the world, then, you know, you're not paying attention, because there is evil in the world. But I don't feel like that we're by any means helpless. I believe that we do have the capability of making this world a better place, and if I didn't believe that, I would not even have Shaziz Radio. We wouldn't be having this conversation. I believe in it so much. I believe in the worth and the value of each and every one of you. We can't let petty differences get us into fights that are going to divide us and break us up. You said earlier that there were other networks that failed. You know, some of them failed because they tried to go commercial. Some of them failed because of infighting. And here at Shaziz Radio, I won't allow any infighting here at Shaziz Radio. I mean, I'll shut people down in a heartbeat, because we're not here to fight amongst each other. We're here to find solutions and spread positive message and good information. And for the most part, that's all I hear on here on these networks. And this is why I'm so impressed with the Knights of the Round Table and Awake Radio and Shake and Wake Radio and No Borders Radio and We Roar and all the other networks out there. I'm impressed with them because through all the adversities, I haven't seen the infighting like I have in prior networks that I was associated with. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. And good healthy debate and stuff like that, and teaching one another. Somebody might know more about a subject than somebody else does.
Yeah, we could drop this ball real easy. We could drop this ball so fast, and all the hard work, all the good information just went down the toilet. Those folks who might have listened, you know, I talk about to the host privately, and I talk to other people about when we come on the radio station, you don't hear us down here slinging the F-bomb, the S-bomb, and cursing and all that kind of stuff. Because if somebody shows up in that chat room and they're listening to the radio, I want them to have a positive message when they leave. I want them to go out and tell their friends to, hey, you know, go over and listen to Shaziz or Awake or No Borders. And they're good folks over there, and they're working on trying to, bring people together. But what I don't want to happen, by the time they leave that chat room and go out there and tell those folks, I don't want to discredit the person that just went out and told that positive information by having them come in there, their friend come in there, and the first word out of their mouth, out of somebody's mouth, is bleeping this and bleeping that, and then they go back and they, we just...
Even more so than that, Shaziz, I told Clayton Douglas, one of the well-known patriots in this movement, longer than anybody's had any of these networks, yesterday, when he rode with us for 3 hours yesterday afternoon, I told him, he slipped and said bull SH, you know. And I said, well, we say bull crap, or you can say freaking. But the reason why it's important to us is some of our listeners might have young children.
Yep.
So if you're somebody who's got a four-year-old, well, like, say, Devin and his lady, Shannon, got a little child there, right? I don't want them to hear guests on my show saying effing bullcrap. In other words, not those words, but the ones that I was covering.
Yeah, with. I understand what you're saying.
Because, then suppose Shannon or Devin's mom comes over one day, and their little girl or anybody's kid whose parents listen to Awake Radio or Shaziz, and the kid's walking around going,
beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, I understand.
Right? And grandma would be like, where'd you hear that language? I don't want him to say, on Awake Radio. You know?
That's the point. I won't say anything.
Always, I go, whoa, hold on. We don't do this.
You know what the problem is?
Plus, we're trying to get other people to pick us up.
Yeah.
And if somebody that we've solicited our brand collectively to comes over and is thinking about putting Shake and Wake or any of these shows on an AM station somewhere that is under FCC rules, I don't want somebody to come check out our show. Maybe they run Alex Jones too, so the Patriot thing is, and the Freedom thing is more popular now, and the New World Order probably don't care that it's out there, the information's out there. If we have a perspective to move forward, to be picked up by other networks or AMs or even or whatever, and a representative comes over to check out any one of these particular shows, the last thing on earth, the second they hear somebody slipping and saying, mother, something.
Then it's done.
Yeah, it's over, man. They don't play games in this business. So if we want to sound like we're professionals, then we got to talk like professionals. And you don't turn on even the shill networks. You know, you don't see, you don't hear that. You don't hear that on the radio. And if somebody slips, they're getting a fine, or they could even get suspended, or the network could have their FCC rights pulled.
Well,
so
and
it's about responsibility for the young people. Personally, if we're in a private round table, privately in Skype. Like, you know, if you're an adult and you want to use that language, it doesn't offend me. I've heard it all my life.
Well, me personally,
but I myself, I'm trying not to use that language all the time because it's a bad habit. And have you ever heard this saying? Profanity is a small mind forcefully trying to express itself.
Well, then,
so if you can say what you're going to say without the F-bomb every other line, well then, you know, it's going to come off better.
Then if you make it a habit to do that in your off time, it's kind of like, you know, when's going to be the time where you accidentally slip and say it on the radio and blow everything that we just tried to do right out of the water, you know? So I try to, you know, I'm not perfect. I've said a few dirty words in my time, but I try to avoid that even in private chat because, you know, it's like you if you get used to doing something and then you ain't thinking about it, you're right, liable to do it in the wrong place, the wrong time, and just mess up everything, you know?
You know what really blows my mind is like when I talk to a guest because I'm the producer in pre-interview, I let them know in text right away, please, no profanity. And yeah, I swear it goes in one ear
and
I'm the other.
We don't censor.
Sometimes.
We don't censor. But we ask that you don't use profanity because some of our listeners might have children.
I tell them that, and some
they might have children
just
in
don't.
The same room, you know.
Well, that's what we got that little red dump button for.
Yeah.
I will drop a call in a heartbeat if somebody, you know, even if it's another host, if somebody gets like
I'll tell them. I'll be like, whoa, whoa, and they'll be like, sorry. But if they keep doing that over and over throughout the whole interview, then that's it, you know.
Yep. But anyway, what we're doing right here is, I believe, a really good purpose, and I think it's well worth the effort. Otherwise, I wouldn't get up in the morning and do what it is that I do.
Same here.
And I'm thankful for you guys, and I'm thankful for all the other hosts on all the other networks. I'm thankful for the people who actually keep the networks up and running. I'm thankful for the listeners and the people that join in the chat rooms. I'm thankful for the whole deal, because to me, the only way that we're going to fix our world up until the time when, you know, our God shows back up and does what needs to be done to fix the house, is us. You know, we were given the free will, the power of the pen, the power of spoken word, the power of our actions. I say it over and over, and I shorten it all up by saying throwing a positive pebble in the pond. But when my father shows up at my house, I want to have my house in order, you know. I don't want this house to be a mess, you know. So,
well, we don't own this house. We're renters.
Well, I understand that too. You know, we don't.
No. What I'm saying is, even this studio house.
Yeah.
And the man who rents it to us treats us like we're his children, and he's like a surrogate dad to us. And we've only known him a year and a half, but we're preparing for the worst. Hoping for the best.
I only know
we're learning how to can. He's teaching Annie how to juice.
I only know the guy a year and a half. I will lay down my life for him.
But what I'm trying to say is, when he comes by here to take a look or visit with us, I want him to see I'm doing good things with this place.
And we're not destroying the property.
I'm keeping it in order. So you can only imagine how our Creator thinks about what we've allowed to be done to his property, because it is his.
Yep.
You know? And you know what? I just want to say something that I really have a conviction as to right and wrongs, and I know there's some grays in there too and stuff, but like I also know how I've really studied a lot of different things in the psychology of the slippery slope and how the enemy will try to trick people into to something good, like using love your enemies and forgiveness and thou shalt not judge and all of that. And it's a fine line. And I sometimes might come off like like I'm slightly hostile about any particular thing I might be saying. I mean, sometimes I'm laughing and joking, but when I'm dead serious about something, I won't make any apologies for it, you know? And I think I've said a lot of good things since I've been here, and when someone like Alan, who's listening, who also owns a network, says, I'm plugging you live through my stream right now, or I'm replaying your shows, or people type to me in Skype while we're on the air saying, man, you nailed it, you hit it right on the head, or that person is misguided and you told them, and but, you know, I appreciate stuff like that. But like Clayton Douglas said yesterday, it doesn't come enough, and it really, I'm constantly feeling like, what am I doing this for? And then I, you know, an hour later or a few minutes later, I'll pray on it and I'll say, okay, I see what's going on here. That's the spirits playing with me, trying to get me to think that, you know, because if I'm right about something, I would like people to write to us or to type in a chat, show up in chat, or to back me up and say, keep going, you're right on, you know, because sometimes I'm feeling like some people with their mixed up beliefs. And I'm not talking about anybody particularly on this panel, but some people just they wanna have a why? How do I say this? They're waving their unit at me. It's an ego thing, or they don't want to believe that maybe they're wrong. Well, and there are certain things that I know I'm not wrong about. It's not that I don't think or something like that. And you know, what? How could people respect me or follow what I'm saying or look into what I'm saying if I'm not projecting strength and positivity? You know, in other words, if I'm going around so concerned about people liking me, then I'm saying, well, you know, it's okay. It doesn't matter what you worship or who you worship or if you believe this or you believe that or it's only my opinion or you know, if I'm being too, if I'm not solid about what I'm saying and standing firm, well then how's somebody gonna...
Well, I stand firm on my faith, and I'm not opposed to saying it. And yeah. I let everybody know, because we have a lot of atheists that listen to our show. We have a lot of agnostics. We even have Buddhists. We have Muslims. We have Christians and all faiths listening to our radio show. And I'm not trying to force my beliefs on anybody, but I won't back down from the truth when the truth needs to be told. So,
well, we're celebrating today that we're not celebrating that Buddha resurrected and conquered and forgave humanity for its sin, you know. But that's not what I meant. I meant whatever it is that I'm talking about. If I'm on the air telling people that the Blavatsky crew created a certain belief system or a certain thing, or they're responsible for the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses or the division of the church, the Freemasons, you know, I have to do my research and know what I'm talking about, and I'm not going to have somebody tell me that it's just my opinion or stand tall. You know, if I look out in the yard and it's raining, and somebody says, well, it's not really raining, it's just misty outside, I mean, no, it's raining, brother.
Yeah.
It's raining. Do I got to open the door and shove you out into the... to the rain? In other words, just, I gotta be tough. I gotta be strong here.
Yeah, but you know? when you're being
I look at myself as you've got privates, right?
When you're being tough and you shove them out into the rain, at least hand them an umbrella before you shove them out there. Okay.
Well, put it this way: because of my time invested in this and doing my research, and all that. There are different, like, ranks, I believe. Just like school grades, and Steve and I talked about this, you know. Somebody who just woke up last year obviously isn't going to know what Annie and I know, who we have just non-stop watched YouTube videos and read articles and read documents and did things for 6 years straight with hardly any television and on fire for the truth. So what I'm saying is I'm more like a major in this thing. So when some private who just got out of boot camp wants to tell me something that I know isn't the case, well, then I will stand up and pull rank, so to speak.
Can I give you some words of wisdom, Rick?
But that doesn't mean I won't sit down in the mess hall and have a drink with him and say, the reason I told you this is because for your protection and because I love you and everything, and I want that you'll be prepared when you go out there.
Can I give you some words of wisdom, Rick?
Sure.
You know, and man, when I first got into studying, researching, and going down the rabbit hole, I got so excited, so paranoid, so I had to tell the whole world, and I went out and I told and I told and I told, and by the time it was all said and done, I overtold. What I should have done and what I try to do now is be like that wise man on the hill, who the really old man who's lived it, and he's seen all the history and he's seen all the different things and read all the stories and heard all the different sides of the, because he was a good listener. I was standing here on top of that hill, and when those folks come up there to ask me, hey, you know, what do you know about this right here? I tell them about that. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I do, but I'm doing 5 days a week where some people do two. Or actually, we're doing 6 days a week. So if I'm doing 6 days a week, and you know the old saying, people either... they get an impression about somebody. Now, if they have a different belief system or they feel differently about something or for whatever reason, if they don't like your tone or they don't like you, or if they do, like put it this way, most of the people that have showed up and heard Shake and Wake have come by since we've been here and say nothing but awesome things. We love Rick and Annie and stuff, and that's great. But then there are going to be some people that are just not going to like my straightforward, I'm not playing type attitude, and maybe I'm challenging what they think, or they don't want to believe it. You know, like, I don't know how many people that I've talked to who, you know, I told them the music industry is satanic, and so is Hollywood.
Well, all you got to do is look at the artwork. All you got to do is look at the artwork, and you can see that, or listen to the lyrics, and you can hear that.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that every single song is satanic, and that I love music, and music is the universal language, and not every single movie. You know, The Green Mile is a good movie. There's a lot of good movies, like the one you talked about, came out of Hollywood, Pay It Forward. But I'm just saying, there are... because I'm putting myself out there so often, some people are going to love Rick and Annie, and some people are just going to be like, go away. Every time I come on here, you're on here. Well, yeah, if you come on every day on your lunch break, yeah, that's when we're on. Well, or, you know, if we happen to be doing a late night roundtable because Rick asked me to, or something, but you know the old saying, right? Familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah, well,
and what you said about being a good listener and not speaking all the time or telling too much. Well, if you're gonna do 2 or 3 hours 6 days a week, and sometimes go on late at night to try to reach some other people who might like us, hear us late at night, and then show up for the daytime shows, every time you open your mouth in this business, if you say the wrong thing that somebody don't like, somebody who liked you and 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 was there every day, all of a sudden one day I say something they don't go along with or like, and then they hate you. Like Jerry Lewis told a story where he's in Vegas and he's about to go out and be a guest on a show, and he's standing out in the lobby having a cigarette, and some lady comes up and says, "Oh, you're my favorite. I've watched the telethon ever since I was a little girl. I watched your movies. I just love you to death. You're just so incredible, and my daughter's about to call me any second, and she's a big fan of yours too, and could you just say hi to her for a second? She'll never believe I'm standing here with Jerry Lewis." And he says, "Ma'am, they're calling me to go on stage any second now, so I don't know if I'm going to... Oh, just one second, please, Jerry, please. I love you, right?" And then they call him, "Mr. Lewis, you got to come now." As he's walking, he says, "I'm sorry, I can't. I gotta go on stage. This is..." Right? The lady starts screaming out, "Well, who the heck do you think you are? You think you're better than the rest of us? Screw you and everything under the sun." Like, her love for him just went boom in the hate.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to have to contend with that. But we're down to the wire. Unfortunately, you know, not everybody's going to agree with us. But, you know, when we're sitting around the round table, we've got to hear all views and all opinions. And we got to take the best information out and deliver it to the people in a respectful manner. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about, and I think everybody's doing a fine job. So, you know, this is the part where we got to go around and give everybody their last word of peace, hope, and love or something. You know, right. I'm thinking I'm going to be running a few minutes over because I actually want to play this one particular song right before our outro, normal outro. So if everybody wants to say their last deal, then we'll wrap this show up. And thanks to all the Knights who joined in today.
All I see is you and me.
Well, then I guess it's you, brother, and Annie.
I love everybody out there, and
that's it. You still there?
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Oh, okay.
That's it.
No, that's perfect. What about you, Annie?
Same here. I love everybody.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us on tonight's Round Table. Once again, you know, hey, we come together, we sometimes have passionate conversations, and sometimes we have tearful conversations, but it's all for the greater good and making the world a better place, sending positive ripples out into our world, because we are the founding fathers and the mothers and sisters and brothers and so on of our children and our children's children's future. What we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow.
And so, through conflict, resolution can come also.
Yep.
Like you and I might be trying to invent something and we disagree on what part we need, but by the push and pull, we can figure it out.
So with that said, looks like I'm going to be running a bit over. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned for the next night to the round table, and don't just sit there and listen. Join in and talk in the chat room and tell us things that's on your mind and share with the world. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Thanks, Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. Really. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
In that castle over there.
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call a scene, to put work impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we've given rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
she's on the table, and the knights of the round table.